Oh, we're ready now, finally. Okay. Okay, the Newport Planning Commission is now in order. And the first order of business is the roll call. Mr. Updike. Mr. Updike.
No.
Still here.
Oh, he's still there. Okay. We also have Derek Tokos on the Zoom.
Yeah, and I'm right here too. I'm in two different places at once. This is a miracle.
Okay, Mr. Capri.
Present.
Yeah, wow. We got the full house today. Mr. Bear.
Here.
Mr. Braulio.
He's here.
Mr. Michigan State.
I am here.
Mr. Brannigan's here. Mr. Berman.
Here.
And Mr. East.
Here.
Okay, all present and accounted for. First order of business is the unfinished business. Guess we don't have any unfinished business.
Yeah, we do. Oh. We got all kinds of unfinished business. So,
number two, 2A. Is,
2A.
2A? Okay, 2A is Beth Young and the update on the Comprehensive Plan Streamlining Project.
Which we have renamed. Okay.
Take it away.
All righty. It's going to be called the Comprehensive Plan Summary. As I described in the staff, the memo, which I don't have with me, maybe you could bring it up, Sherry?
Well, here, I've got it.
Okay.
I'll help you out.
Okay. What did I say?
Read it from there.
Okay, here's the, so basically we're saying that this is not the comp plan, it's not an amendment to the comp plan, it is meant to capture the breadth of the comp plan, it's to provide an introduction to all the workings of the city of Newport and to capture the breadth of the comp plan in a shorter, simpler, and reader-friendly format that will, we hope, facilitate ease of use and fast access to needed information that is in the comp plan. The idea is mostly, especially online, so people can get to what they want to know quickly.
Didn't this project start out as a reformatting of the actual comp plan? Or at least that was always my impression.
It was a restructuring, but it would not be tangible changes that would require a formal legislative process. So it was more of a let's promote the goals and some summary information. But really, I mean, where we ended up at with it is, we're about to launch a new website. John Fuller's working on that. And we have an opportunity to get the key components of the comprehensive plan up there in a more readable form and a less intimidating form than the full document. And so Beth's been working hard on these different chapters to kind of put together this in a more readable, graphic, user-friendly manner. And there will be a disclaimer. This, if you want all the gory details and to dive into the full comprehensive plan, it's available here, and they can link over to and start working through that. But if you've ever worked with that document, I mean, it's thick.
Two binders.
Lots of very useful technical information, but that's not a particularly readable, user-friendly format for a lot of folks.
And then your office can be responsible for keeping the two in sync?
Yep. Yeah, that's going to be something we're going to have to stay on top of.
Are you going to rearrange the chapters of a comprehensive plan to correspond with these chapters?
No.
No, that's not the plan at this time.
If you go a little further along on that, I have a graph showing.
Right, showing the correspondence, but okay, all right, I understand. Mm-hmm. On that chart, I did have a question. There's no reference to stormwater at all. Is that not in the comprehensive plan?
Could you go down to that, or?
Sure, I'll go
down. What do you mean stormwater?
You got water supply, wastewater, fire, and police. That's chapter 9.
I'm going to, it should be in your public facilities. If it's not, it needs to be referenced there.
Mm-hmm.
It should be in chapter 9.
I'm not sure that had goals and
storm drainage system.
Discussing it, but it didn't have any goals going along with it.
Beth.
Okay, well then I'll help you make sure I put them in. We haven't done the final like.
Well, sure.
That last 5% that is going to take 50% of the time. But, you know, just every little thing like that, which is, of course, very important.
It's in chapter 9.
Hmm?
It's in chapter 9.
What is?
Stormwater.
It'd be storm drainage system. I'm just panning down to it.
It's because it's just not listed in this little summary table, the
okay.
cross-reference between the
okay.
two.
Okay, so that summary table also has, I omitted chapter 5. That's from chapter 3, environment. The comp plan chapter 3 environment. You'll note.
There are some storm policies that need to be added to this.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Noted. Yeah. And okay. So then also you'll notice in that chart as part of the memo. If you go up a little bit on that page.
You want me to go back into the memo?
Yeah, there we go. I just up a little bit more to the new chapter 5, natural hazards. It should say, instead of that reminder to put the section in, it should say chapter 3, which is environment. Some chapters, as you can see, chapter 3, environment, is listed above. So sometimes the chapters were separated, parts were put in two different chapters. Trying to make it a little more understandable. Chapter 10, if you've noticed, and if you go to it, you'll notice that all it says is something about TSP. And so I will be in the intro part, that's usually it's taken from somebody else's writing. Sometimes it's just a little introduction to what the TSP is. So I will probably take a few paragraphs from the TSP. They have very good introduction of what TSPs are, blah, blah, blah. So that's going to go there. So, you know, there are just some things. I had a time crunch there, and so that didn't happen. But that's on my list of things to do, along with anything else you guys come up with today. And I'm sure more. I will find more myself. Photos. I've asked I don't know how we want to do this, but I think it would be fun for accept photos from city employees. You know, your favorite Newport photos, that sort of thing, and throw in some things there that are originals, or maybe even a competition, or who knows what. So working on photos, and if we don't do that, I'll just try and find some really good other, in addition to the ones that are there already. I kind of like the ones there already, but if you have any input on that, let me know. So that was the overall what we're doing. You've heard this before, but it's going to be an easier, you know, reader friendly thing, but also it does include all of the goals, policies, and implementation measures that are in the comp plan. None of those were removed from the summary.
Now, I assume there's a couple of the missing. I'm looking at the first chart in your report, in introduction. Let me see. It's got page 5. This doesn't seem to have page numbers, does it?
The introduction?
No, the whole thing.
It's going to have page numbers.
Okay, well, I'm looking at big page 5, which is
this,
that little
this chart. This one right here, right? This chart?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a couple of goals that are missing. Does that mean they're totally irrelevant? Or stuff, you know, I don't know, out west or out east or... I got 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yes, that's exactly right. They're irrelevant. Okay. One is the Willamette Greenway.
All right.
Yep. Right. So that's why we got some missing.
Okay.
Should I include that in this chart?
No,
I can do
it, not unless there's a chapter that's relevant to it.
No.
But do put some page numbers on the document.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The summary.
We'll want to organize it as the website is organized. I don't have an answer for you yet because John's still kind of rolling that out, but we'll want to sync it up with how other documents are set up there that have multiple pages to them.
When I was reviewing this, that was a thing I noticed. I'm like, well, I thought it was all going online. So I was like, well, this is content that you're just going to put online, right? It's not going to be a standalone document?
It will also be available. A couple printouts will be available.
Okay.
To look at City Hall. So that'll have pages, and I don't know about the online one.
And there will be also an online full comp plan document, right?
Yes, the full comprehensive plan will be available as well.
And are there going to be hot links between the bullets, the numbers here, like on this chart? If I click on chapter 1, will I go to the comp plan, chapter 1?
Not on that chart, but the other one that you were talking about, that's in the memo, that one links the comp plan with this.
No, I'm talking about it. Physically changing to see what I see on the screen. In other words, if I click here on citizen involvement, because that's the topic I'm really interested in, or, well, let's get down into the citizen involvement. And is there going to be any link here that will bring me to that section on the real comp plan?
Yeah, I think we're saying the same thing. I think what you want to be looking at is the other chart that's on the memo.
Well, that's in the memo. That's not going to be available to the public.
Well, we can put it on there. That can go in the intro. So it can be another column, and then it will. Okay. And then it can link. That's a great idea. And also, we can have it linked to the DLCD's statewide goals. They have pages for each goal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can do a lot of fun stuff like that.
Well, and then there'll be points down later when you got a link to the TSP.
Exactly.
Somewhere. Okay. But now, you probably don't want to, I didn't copy edit the entire document. Found a few things, but do you want those to pass along
later? Yeah, we're going to be doing heavy-duty proofing.
Okay, good.
Me and Sherry and things, hopefully more people than that. Yeah, she's the best proofer. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Beth?
Yes?
The pictures in here make it much more friendly.
I think so.
Yeah. So I would encourage you to, in some of the sections, it's just straight.
Oh, I know. You may have noticed little carrots that say photo here and caption here. Okay. Yeah. And that's, I think, even more would be great.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Since it's online, you know, a few bites doesn't cost the city much.
Yeah. I like that idea too.
I also, not relevant to this document, but I see here that whenever a major change, as determined by the Planning Commission, to the comp plan or an implementing ordinance is under consideration, 3 persons from the community at large shall be designated by the Planning Commission as a citizen advisory committee. I don't remember ever doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about Dustin?
No.
No,
that this is talking about a specific change that we may make at some future date to some ordinance.
Not the advisory group.
Not the general advisory committee. This is on a particular project by project.
Yes.
Ordinance by ordinance.
I did see that.
I just would, that popped out at me because I don't just never remember seeing that happen. Derek is probably unaware of it, so he's thinking hard right now, trying to come up with an explanation.
Can you imagine trying to get three
committees talking about mystical, just me.
When they, the council ultimately codified an expanded planning commission work group for work sessions, which Dustin is the only member of right now. But we have had up to three individuals serving in that capacity. So that had been done on a project by project basis from time to time. I think the last one that I can think of was the rewrite of the zoning ordinance, which I picked up when I arrived.
Wow.
And then we, from there, turned that group into a permanent supplement for the work sessions. So now, keep in mind, any major code changes, we've also typically created an advisory committee to assist with. I mean, we'll be talking about the city sitter revitalization plan. Yeah. Had an advisory committee. Short-term rentals had an advisory committee. I mean, so when you pick up, some of the more significant ones, we typically have an advisory committee.
Yeah, I understand. Well, we're not going to mess with the comprehensive plan, but that's a statement that could be looked at. If Dustin is going to represent all those various three-person advisory committees,
he can bring a couple of his kids to round it out to three.
Okay, that was off the topic, sorry.
Do you have anything else for Beth?
Yeah, I've got a comment. So, thinking maybe give some thought to this idea of linking this to the actual comp plan, because I think even just this conversation we just had, I can see people perhaps toggling back and forth and getting confused which document they're in. So, what is this really for? I'm assuming this isn't for a professional architect or a professional planner to use. It's for Joe Citizen to try to understand how government works. Do we really want to ensure every link is exactly correct? Because I would think there'd be some liability with that, even though you've got the proviso at the top. That's going to get lost by the time you get to page 50. So just a thought to kind of roll that around, whether you really want to have that direct link between a summary and the plan itself.
No, John, it's a good point. I mean, maybe this is best framed as a citizen's guide to the comprehensive plan, and keep it as its own independent thing, keeping a disclaimer in there that there is an actual real comp plan that can be found at such and such location, but not to link the two too closely. That's a point well taken.
I'm writing down the new name.
Anybody have anything else for Beth?
No, just I agree with John. It could get very out of control, but I would like to see at least a link chapter by chapter.
So when
you're looking at the introduction, Chapter 8, Housing, Statewide Goal 10, somewhere very close to that, I'd like to see a link saying the official comprehensive plan chapter relevant to housing can be found here. Click.
And then they click on the real comp
plan. Yeah, but just maybe
plan.
One per chapter, but just to tie the two together.
Right.
All right. But that'll be up to you guys.
One final thing I didn't mention that I wanted to. I have a wording similar to Chapter 3 is included in this chapter, by reference, you know, kind of making it official, that I don't need to have that language there. So I will be removing all of those things, going through page by page and doing that. And also, instead, I can say, for more information, and it'll have the, you know, 2012 economic development plan, anything that used to be in as part and is still part of the comp plan or as an appendix in the comp, the existing comp plan. So there will, there can be those links, but thinking about linking is important. So we're going to have to give that a little more thought.
Yeah, especially since it's website-based. I was thinking about it, too, doing, like, something on definitions. A lot of people don't know what an urban growth boundary is. So.
That's a good point, Dustin.
I don't know what a UGB is.
So we have all kinds of acronyms in planning.
In the comp plan? Not in mine, because...
Or, I don't know, I guess, like, on the website, like, if you could click on UGB and find out what an
urban perfect, yeah. Is. Yeah, that's great. In addition, I never just say words like UGB without first saying urban growth boundary in parentheses UGB, just a standard practice that people use.
I think there's a couple but
so you will see the words UGB, and probably the first time when it says comp plan UGB, that can be highlighted, and then that makes it a lot easier whenever a paragraph down or something it's referred to. So that's a good point. I can do it the first time it's shown on the doc, on the citizen's guide to the comprehensive plan.
Well, if it's all going to be, or a lot of it's going to be web-based, you could do a hover thing too on all that.
Cool. I hate when it does that. It's just like, I didn't do it. It moved.
Okay. Thank you, Beth.
Okay, thank you.
Have a nice dinner. Okay, moving right along. Item 2B is the City Center Revitalization Comprehensive Plan Amendments.
So we got Derek Tokos here, Community Development. We've with me tonight, Jim Hankey with David N. Evans and Associates. You know, when we dug into this a little bit further, we just came to the realization that we really needed to split up the policy discussion from the form-based code that Marcy and her works is putting together. So the form-based code will be brought to one of your July work sessions. It's far more detailed, and it's code, it's not policy, and trying to blend the two into a one-hour work session didn't seem to make sense. So what Jim's done is he and his folks at David Evans and Associates have put together a package of amendments to our comprehensive plan. It goes into the Peninsula Urban Design chapter, if you want to think of it that way, which goes to back to a Peninsula plan that was done early 90s is when it was, I think, finally adopted. And that picked up Nye Beach, City Center, and the Bayfront. And it put in place into our comprehensive plan the concept that design districts could and should exist in the community in certain areas. Nye Beach was the only one that formed out of that early 90s process. But the structure in the comprehensive plan is there. And so what Jim and his folks, I'm sure you probably caught as you were looking at the materials, was kind of inserted the city center revitalization planning effort into that chapter, updating the city center component of it, and then folding in policy direction. And so one thing I wanted to do is kind of walk through that and make sure you're comfortable with the policies as they've been framed and how it's been structured in the comp plan. It's not an action plan. I did attach a draft of the action plan we're developing at a staff level to implement various elements of the City Center Revitalization Plan. An action plan is something we want to keep flexible so that we can adjust and, you know, shift priorities based on resources or opportunities or things of that nature. So the policy direction that you're going to see here is pretty overarching, not intended to be specific action items. So I'm going to go ahead and bring that up here real quick. Oh, wrong items. Not that one. Where are we? Okay, so what you'll...
Eric, I see on this document some double underlined and some strikeouts. That means this is existing language from the comp plan modified here.
Correct. Eric? Double underline. We'll put some lead language in here, to like I typically do with code stuff, where I say double underlines added language, strike through is eliminated language. We'll put that up on the header. It's just not there right now. Yes. But yes, that is that is showing changes to the existing language.
Okay.
You know, so again, Newport Peninsula Urban Design Plan is a chapter of our comprehensive plan that was developed back in the early 90s to kind of frame out the areas within the city where attention needs to be, we need to be paying careful attention to urban design and where design districts might be appropriate. That's where Jim folded in a little bit of language under the findings about the city center revitalization plan. And then there's a set of overarching policies where he went in and made some targeted changes. One thing I want to, Jim, do you want to kind of walk through any of these or?
Well, just maybe some of the organization. As Derek mentioned, the Peninsula plan already identified city center. So we just kind of are providing an update to how that's described. And you'll notice that we just begin with the boundary of the area that we're calling city center. And we included it, the exhibit that we had been showing you as part of the planning work to date. We repeated the goals, the five goals from the city center revitalization planning effort. And then we kind of provided this updated character and function statement about city center becoming an increasingly active, walkable, mixed-use environment. It's a little perhaps redundant with the goals, but it's maybe just another way of explaining what is it we're trying to do. And then that's followed by the concept diagram, which... Derek, I guess if you're driving the document there, it's
the next one down.
The next down, yeah. And I'm just going quick. We can come back and spend more time. But within that study area, you know, we had talked about Highway 20 is its own unique sort of sub-district. And then from the government center down, touching the hospital node is another sub-district. And then that kind of south end hospital node is a sub-district. So we thought that was useful to show that it's not like a one size fits all within the district. There's a little nuance and variation. And we describe those sub areas and we use kind of two phrases. One of the terms, central business district, links directly with ODOT's blueprint for urban design. So that's why we said, hey, you could call it the central business district and the traditional downtown zone for that area shaded in red. And then the south end is the urban mix Highway 101 gateway zone. And then the third area is the urban mix Highway 20 gateway zone. Again, the first description is that ODOT blueprint for urban design term, and the second bit is something that links directly to how Marcy has been working on the code update. So we're trying to kind of make multiple connections here between some different documents and policies. Ultimately, at the end, it's kind of an introduction to the form-based code where it says that the approach to kind of managing growth and redevelopment and city center will be controlled by these kind of main headings: public realm, building form, site design, housing, parking, land use. And then it also introduces the four kind of main categories that the code update is organized under, and that's public realm standards, general standards, and frontage types, and this downtown frontage types. So we thought we'd kind of insert that into the comp plan amendment. So again, when you get to the form-based zoning code, there's a real direct linkage and connection.
So that's a question I have. Those will be referenced in the code. So those once adopted, will be in there.
So
the section that will say traditional downtown zone, and this are the frontages and the requirements.
Yep. That's how she's got it organized so far. So when she comes and visits you, when is that in?
Second meeting in July.
Yeah, she'll be spending all her time on all of that code detail. So that's the quick overview of what we were trying to do here with this peninsula plan, I guess, element of the comprehensive plan revision.
Are we going to continue to call this area the Deco District?
Or Activation plan. You got rebranding, right?
Well, you saw that in there. You're showing your age. The action plan, that's an area that we're going to spend some time engaging with the businesses and other stakeholders in the area about what that should look like. You know, and there's a significant conversation and work item piece here to really kind of see, you know, with the investments that the city will be making through the Urban Renewal District, you know, is there an appetite amongst the businesses and other stakeholders to, again, have an association where they play a more active role? We used to have that in the city center, and it kind of fell apart. You had champions of the Deco District that retired their businesses. They shut down and moved on, and there was nobody to step in there and keep that going or to build upon that. And so there's a bit of work to do. One of the other things I wanted to make sure by putting in the activation plan or the action plan in there for you to take a look at is that, you know, this is a big effort from a lot of different players in the city. It's not just me that's doing work here. You got the city manager, you got communications, you've got grant manager, Kathy Rigby's going to be doing a lot of work, Anna in urban renewal. So there's a number of public works will have a role, city engineering will have a role, depending on the task at hand. So that's part of the other thing where with our action plan is just trying to resource different things and move pieces appropriately in parallel to try to begin to see some change here, both near term and then eventually long term as we get the funding together for the big transportation solutions. So I guess I just want to make sure you're comfortable with kind of how we have that structured, and we're folding it into the comprehensive plan. We can do some tweaking of language or strengthening of policy concepts. I mean, that's all fair game at this point. This is the key piece that through the Transportation Growth Management Grant that they're wanting to see put in place. They recognize the form-based code is coming. They don't necessarily care if that happens before the grant is tied off. So the fact that we have the zoning code stuff well underway is good from the state's perspective in terms of the transportation grant and the funding they provided to the project. But they do really want to see the policy language moved through a process with action by the council, which, you know, kind of commits us on a path to doing these things.
So when does this turn into a recommendation of the council to update the comp?
Well, this is close enough. This is substantive enough now that if you're comfortable with it, what you could do is, and we got it set up for your regular session, is you initiate the legislative process to amend the comp plan. Then that gives me the ability then to provide the 35-day notice we're required to provide the Department of Land Conservation Development. We will notify others who've participated in this process through the process, and we will notify the members of the Citizen Advisory Committee. I would expect you will have an audience for that meeting, because there are some concepts that not everybody who's participated in this process likes, and so you'll have an opportunity to hear from them.
By putting this in the comprehensive plan, it basically locks in at that point the concept of a couplet. I mean, couplet is no longer an option for discussion.
Right. That is, we are moving forward with that solution.
Right. And the other thing I noticed is just sort of a general feeling. This is a much more detailed, this bullet one on page two of your document. Number one, city center, describing the district. Goes on for four or five pages with lots of bullets and maps. And then the remaining four or five are one paragraph each, more or less, starting on page eight. Well, no, really nine. Well, yeah, eight. Waterfront district, one paragraph. Nye Beach district, one paragraph. There's a dissimilarity in the level of detail in the presentation, but maybe we'll revisit those some other day. I like the fact that how much is in your part, but that makes these others look like somebody was just trying to get some words on a piece of paper, one paragraph.
It's tricky. I mean, you know, the other way we could do it is strip out all of the reference to City Center from the Peninsula plan and then kind of make it part A, part B, with City Center, you know, having it being part B. And it's a tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough one.
Because
this is good stuff.
We really do need to modify the City Center references from the 90s and update them, because we have done that with this refinement plan, if you want to think of the City Center revitalization plan. But as you're correct, what that means is that the City Center has a lot more detail and substance and is more current than the other components, which still date back to the 90s.
To that point, you could probably slim it down, like the concept and context diagram, like, is that really needed? The one with the orange or the purple and the red, and highlighting gateways, you pick it up in like three or four other drawings.
Oh, that's higher up, I'm going the wrong direction. I know what you're talking about, the colored one.
Yeah, it's just not really necessary. Probably the city center district boundary is all you need.
We'll take a look at that, Dustin. We might be able to line it up.
Like, get rid of that, and then even on the upper one, just put the boundary on one of the other plans that you have listed in here, right?
Boundary map is just above that. Prior page.
Yeah, that'd be figure one.
That boundary map, all that is, like, a, you know, put that boundary on one of the other maps.
Potentially. I think one thing we do want to be clear about with City Center is that boundary. That boundary covers, you know, three different kind of geographic areas where we're pursuing slightly different things. And that's the value of what figure two provides. It provides we got a Highway 20 component, which is going to have its own set of objectives that are slightly different than the area around the couplet, which are different than the area around the hospital.
Are you really tied to the couplet by adopting this into the comp plan? I always feel like comp plans are more just like...
Well, let me put it this way.
...vocabulary that you're shooting for in a CUP.
Well, it's like It's like anything in the TSP right now, which is in the comp plan, which was our fiscally constrained list, which is, these are the projects. We're not obligated to implement a particular project that's in the TSP. There's no legal obligation for that. But that provides us as a staff with direction for what to pursue. And much of that is ultimately implemented. That's the purpose of a policy document, is to provide some direction, general direction, as to what our next steps should be. And it's important, otherwise you high center and spin your wheels on, you know, forever, not making any kind of step forward in any kind of particular direction.
Is this the last public process that'll happen for the couplet? Or once you get to 30% design, does there have to be something like adopted? Is there another opportunity for public process for the couplet once you're past 30% design?
There will be opportunities where the decisions will need to be made by the council as the project moves forward.
But not planning commission?
No, I don't believe so. It would have more to do with the, say, acquisition of property. Is a good one to get the right of way in place. That has to be done and authorized by the council. We, with any public project where we're doing transportation or changes in a public right of way, we will go out to the public and share with them a preliminary design to get feedback. But that's not going to be the planning commission.
It doesn't say couplet anywhere.
The couplet is a done deal now, as I understand it. There won't be any more public input as to whether or not we should have a couplet, correct? Mm.
The recommendation coming out of this process is to proceed in that manner. That was something that was vetted with the commission, well, advisory committee, commission, council. They still need to ultimately adopt the comp plan amendments that say, yes, we want to do this project. And we can be clearer about that, Dustin, but that does need to be expressly, you know, that's the transportation solution we're looking to do in that part of the city center area.
I think
it's graphically illustrated right there, but yeah. We could be very...
I think we should have a little note on it then, added,
yeah.
Right, to make it really clear. Like,
make it really clear. And we're pursuing, you know, different approaches on 20 and in the hospital area. And so we want to be clear about that.
I have a little bit of trouble with some of the things, like the festival streets, by the way, I think are really cool, but they were sort of like a little anecdotal part of like the overall transportation plan. So I feel like it's somewhat odd to keep like those really fine details in a comp plan right now when a 30% design is not done. But that was just observation, I guess.
There are a lot of concepts sometimes that you can have in a planning level document like a TSP that end up getting modified when you actually do a design. You realize we can't do it quite that exactly that same way because of factors that were unknown at the time that this work was done. So you find something subsurface that's going to influence things, or I mean there's a number of things that can come up in a design that change the... You still implement consistent with the concept. It doesn't maybe look exactly like a preliminary drawing because detailed designs flesh out stuff. Or the golden one too is sometimes you don't have the funding to do it all exactly as it was illustrated too. So maybe you're giving up on certain aesthetics because you can't afford to do it, or maybe you don't have as many street trees as Jim was plugging in along his diagram, which are all over the place, you know. And that we're sensitive, that whatever plannings happen are appropriate to, you know, our area, which isn't always conveyed clearly. I mean, they're planning concepts; they can only go so far.
I have a question. Perhaps I'm misinterpreting your diagram, but if you could go back to the discussion about the Highway 20 gateway zone or the Highway 101 gateway zone. I'm looking at page 95 on our materials. There's a schematic drawing in the lower right-hand corner, Is that gray circle a suggestion that you're contemplating a turnaround at the intersection of Highway 20 and Highway 101? Or am I misinterpreting the image?
Oh, 95 would have been. This is on the. This was the old PowerPoint that you had previously.
Oh, right here. The PowerPoint.
The roundabout. Can I, you want me to show you?
I can bring it up.
Oh, that got put in because I insisted.
Yeah, I've seen roundabouts on streets with significantly less traffic than what you'd have at the intersection.
That's not a roundabout.
Okay. So I misinterpreted.
Yeah, it's not intended to be.
I saw the round circle, and I thought perhaps you were suggesting that at a major intersection. I might suggest that might not be the best plan.
That image we just snipped from the TSP update, so we didn't actually draw that image, but it represents the addition of a eastbound turn lane as you head south off of 101 onto 20. So I'm not sure why they graphically put a circle in the middle, but it's a little confusing.
Well, we were considering a roundabout there for a while, and so there were some diagrams that did
okay.
Yeah, good point. That circle shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Is there enough roadway for an additional eastbound lane on 20 at the intersection of 101?
Not yet.
No, but the Walgreens, that was a discussion point when Walgreens was being developed. That used to be an old auto repair place. And so we made sure that where the building was placed would allow for that. They'd lose landscaping, parking would be altered. There'd be impacts to the property, but it can be done. Because you wouldn't carry that. You would only carry that so far, and then it would be a transition back into the existing kind of lane configuration.
Would that land be then taken by eminent domain?
Right-of-way acquisition, yeah, eminent domain.
There will also be some on one side or the other of 101, either the gas station or McKay's. They need a little bit more space there, as I recall.
Walgreens is not the only property that would be impacted by that project. The additional lane widening to get the second left southbound on 101 would impact property too. And we had at that time discussions about where that lands. That's really going to be informed when we get to a point where we're doing design, and you start to get into the details, which will kind of logically say which direction it should go, one way or the other, or split it between the properties. John, did you have something?
Yeah, question and edit.
Okay.
For number one, which is on page 72. So I think, given...
referencing here.
Yeah. Given the narrative says adjacent properties, and the district is more than just the adjacent properties to the state highways, I think you want to be a little more firm when you reference the figure, that's more specifically as described in something that makes it very clear. If the reader is confused, it's not the narrative, it's the figure that says you're in or you're out of the district. Yes?
Okay. I'm catching up with you, John, because I go back into a different...
And I can see the scrolling. Yes, you're getting there. So just item one, this first up, page of this...
Up a couple of pages, Derek.
Yeah, you're getting there.
There you go.
Right there. Yes. So I think rather than just say C, figure one, don't we intend to say the map rules? Because it's a boundary. So it's kind of important whether a parcel's in or out. It's form-based or not, right?
Right. No, that's a good point.
Adjacent properties is weak. I agree.
The other question I had is on notification. So if I'm an owner of a property and I'm in the boundary, will I get a notice of a hearing?
That can be done. That is not something that is a legal requirement, John. We had done a full postcard notification twice through the two public events to build up a distribution list that we can use for this purpose now. We're going to take a look at that. So I got that jotted down. We'll take a look at it, John. Anything else? Whoa, how'd I end up over here?
Are we going to have time to talk about the action plan, too?
I'm sorry?
Are we going to have time to talk about the action plan?
You're welcome to. This was an example that I was providing. Do you have comments on it?
Well, I was just wondering if so I had a question on the dollar figure for the 30%. Is it actually going to be $1 million?
No, that's just being forwarded what we can forward. That's a TBD to be determined. That's something we would be advancing for that work. We could, but it may not be just 30% design. That could be right away acquisition. That could be more than 30% design. Part of this too is how much do we want to try to tackle at once? Do we want to tackle just that couplet section, or do we want to try to tackle couplet and the intersection of 20 and 101 as part of a 30% design? I don't have the answers yet.
Are they listed in order of priority, like actually the order that you'll do them? Because part of me felt like that 30% design should be a lot higher up on the list, because a lot of I get the goal of having the short-term wins for the district, like beautification and little things, this audit grants. But at the end of the day, like if it's going to look completely different, how people will develop those facades mm-hmm. and make those improvements will be different based on whatever that 30% design is.
Well, right now the concept is to move this stuff in parallel.
All of it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have different leads on different components. Yeah. And the purpose of that, too, is that I think there's a strong desire from our policymakers, certainly at the council level, to see some short-term wins, and that it's not just this is going to be something you see in 7 to 10 years, but that you begin to see some change near-term, and that you see active engagement from the city with stakeholders, as we move forward, that there's not some, we disengage for 2 to 3 years, and here's your 30% design and how this is being funded, that there be active engagement on these issues year after year as we make progress.
On that same document, I guess page three, which is big page 120. Number six, why is there a distinction made between city-acquired properties and city-owned properties? If city's acquired the property, it's also city-owned. So what's the distinction? Why is that in there as two separate things?
Properties you need to buy is what I implied there.
Pardon?
I thought that the difference was properties you need to buy. But you're right.
I think there's those properties that the city has owned for some period of time, well beyond the urban renewal funding that we're using to purchase certain strategic properties, and the near-term acquisitions and how the two mesh together. I think that's the concept that was trying to be conveyed there.
Okay. Then the wording maybe could be worked on a little bit, because to me, those two terms are exactly the same, as long as you have the ED on acquired. Once it's acquired, there's no distinction between that new property and the old properties.
Another note on 7, so is that the actual housing authority, or is it like housing partners? Housing authority in Lincoln County, or is it just general, like, engage with potential housing developers?
It'd be housing partners. Housing authority is an entity, though, that we've had direct conversations with and will continue to do so. But that does not exclusive of other potential housing partners. And in fact, I believe there was an item, if it wasn't, it should be articulated in here about building, you know, continuing to building relationships with mixed use developers generally. You know, there are a number of developers that specialize in that kind of residential over first floor retail, you know, office type. And continuing to engage with them, understand their, you know, what does or doesn't make a project work for them is going to help inform, you know, our next steps and position us so that you know, there will be partners out there who are interested in investing in the area.
Who provides the direction on when you move forward and whether you include 20? That just something you, like, you personally need time for? Is there like a,
you know, process? I think that some of that's a dialogue with ODOT. You know, remember, it's their facilities, and I think we need to get a sense of where their funding is likely to land. You know, this is, you know, everything's cyclical with the state. You know, sometimes, you know, you'll get a slug of money that comes through from a legislative session, and you've got funds for new improvements to the system, and other times you don't. We're going to one where if it gets through, and we know that's jury's out whether or not the transportation package actually gets approved this session or not. It's tight. But if it does, the bulk of that funding is for maintenance of the existing system. Now, that said, that still is a potential partnership. 20's fallen apart. Parts of 101 are falling apart. Where we've done partnerships with the state in the past, we can pull in rehab money as part of the overall, because remember, these street sections are going to get rebuilt. And so part of that is understanding where the state's making its investments in Newport. We know we've got, for example, a signal project that's going to hit in 27 on more than 20. You know, so where's the next investment after that? Where are they looking to, you know, where could they pull in rehab funds? Does it logically make sense for us to stretch the couplet and pull up the 101-20 intersection or not? So that there'll be some conversations on that front that help inform what we think we can tackle.
The action plan, there's several items that are relatively inexpensive. Is that just, can the Urban Renewal Agency just authorize that and go ahead, or does it have to go through a budget, supplemental budget process?
A lot of this stuff will go through supplemental budget. As you said, Northside's got sufficient contingency where that's not an issue. It's not like we're pulling from another project to make it happen. But it needs to, some of these pieces need to be better defined and what the urban renewal contribution is and whether or not urban renewal is paying for all of it or not. You know, it depends on the project concept.
Okay.
What are they doing at Warren 20?
Signal replacement. It's coming in after our we're doing a project in 26 to put sidewalk in and rebuilding Harney between 20 and 3rd. So you have a proper safe pedestrian walkway for kids and parents walking between, say, you have Quinnaview and the high school and the middle school. There's this whole cluster of schools right there. Bike lanes going in, but we'll also rebuild the road surface. And then on the heels of that, they'll come in and modernize the signal. We'll have a new, what we're putting in too, we'll have a more storage for that southbound left. I think we're actually going to add twin lefts, you know, coming up from Moore and then one down from Harney. So you'll have a better functioning intersection, and they're going to modernize and move the signals around a little bit so it all works a little bit better. The state is picking up a piece of sidewalk as part of that project, Dustin. It's missing now between the stove shop and Harney on 20, right by that steep drainage. They'll patch that across, and so, and then everything will tie together at that point. That is a committed project, by the way, in the States. It's fully funded and locked in. That's not one that's going to disappear.
They're not doing the bike lane thing behind Sherwin-Williams that we were talking about.
You know, we could do that. You know, we have those streets teed up for pavement through urban renewal. We've been kicking around whether or not we want to try to go ahead and make that pathway connection when we pave and then do the Harney improvements, either with the Harney improvements or if we, when we pave First and those other streets.
Okay, we're getting close to quitting time on the work session. I don't know. The other piece that's up here is the work program.
Yes, as promised, it's attached. You know, somebody asked if the state's updating its hazard maps, and they are doing that for the Dune hazard maps. Actually, have a draft from Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, Jonathan Allen. So I did plug that in there for a future work session. It's just the Dune hazard area, so it's just going to really only impact the stuff in South Beach. It's not going to be the bluff stuff.
Right.
But it's some fairly detailed mapping. I've already seen, you know, kind of their preliminary product on that. So it'll be a good work session. You'll like it.
He going to come?
Sorry?
Is he going to come by to...
I was going to invite Jonathan and Meg to see if they can make it. So.
Okay. The work session is...